He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
And I would like to just say what a great weekend we had. Yesterday was kicked off the summer, I guess, with Father's Day, and it was beautiful out there. I happened to have to drive a loop around the northwest Connecticut. From here in Salisbury, where I am, down to Lake Waramug, and then off to Hartford, and then back. And I was just thinking, wow, a lot of people are out there on the roads in all sorts of vehicles. I saw a lot of RVs, a lot of camping trailers, people towing motorcycles, towing boats. I saw two or three, which was surprising, like a few minutes apart, old Volkswagen vans converted with canoes on them. So people are taking out all of their beloved means of transportation, summer transportation and recreation, and just going out there. And I think it's cool. It makes me really want to go on a road trip. It's nice to see that people are, and I'm not sure forgetting about the pandemic is a good thing, but at least trying to put it behind them. And anyway, so cool stuff out there. Just a reminder, people, if you're taking out an older vehicle, I saw an old Dodge. I followed for a while an old Dodge converted van into a camper, and it looked in mint condition. It was cool, but it was well-maintained. If you're taking older vehicles, make sure you go through all the safety checks before you go on a real road trip. But
are there any of those that still require leaded gas?
I hope not.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking about that.
I hope no. Actually, to be honest, the requirement for lead gas was always baloney.
Right.
You could not put leaded gas in, and we know we all went to the smaller nozzles. We unfortunately remember that back in the 70s, right? You can put unleaded gas in a leaded engine.
Okay.
That lead additive that they tried to sell for some at some point was just a scam. So there's no issues there. But hopefully all these engines are a little more modern than 30, 40 years old now.
That's true. It's amazing how quickly those years tot up though. Suddenly is. Oh my goodness, that's 25 years old. It's like, well, it still drives, and I'm comfortable, so let me keep it.
Yeah, well, and speaking of time does fly, and as we get older, I guess it flies even more. But we are seeing older vehicles on the road. The average age of a vehicle on the roads here in our country is like at 11 years or something like that. It's way past the 10-year mark. And, it's to my point that I've always had, vehicles are just better now than they ever were. And people who say, oh, they don't make it the way they used to, that's baloney, because vehicles are much better built now than they were 20, 30, 40 years ago. And that's just been confirmed with a JD, JD Power does an annual survey of the most reliable vehicles, and the ones that the brands that encounter the least complaints in vehicles that are 3 years old, and 2021, this year's survey marks an increase in reliability and a decreasing number of complaints that people have for cars, for their 3 year old cars, and there are brands that come out ahead and models that come out ahead, and on top of the list, we're seeing Hyundai and Kia doing extremely well, Lexus and Porsche as well. On the other side, below average, we find brands that surprisingly shouldn't be there, like Mercedes-Benz, Nissan, Ford, Volkswagen seems to have major issues, and that's surprising in my mind. As well as Tesla, Which is surprising too, because people who own Teslas don't seem to complain much about them. But that's, you know, I'm always a little skeptical of those results, just because I think that people complain. And this is just a hunch. Complain more about their cars or any other product for that matter if they feel that they've bought a quality product. If the expectations are higher, they will complain more easily. But that's just a hunch that I have. But I overall, again, those J.D. Power surveys are indicative of trends, and we are getting better and better vehicles on the road.
And I think one of the things that was interesting is that, speaking of 11 years, people are now keeping their, and I don't know if it's because of loans or being underwater or what, but they're, the new average for holding onto a vehicle is 12 years.
Okay, so I said 11. Okay.
So I don't know if that's different or the same. In other words, I don't know if it's the same survey in a different tab, so to speak. The other thing that I was actually wondering about that is, can you still tell the vintage of a 10-year-old vehicle? Can you, for example, look at a picture and say, oh, that's a 2011 versus a 2015 versus a 2007?
Me personally, I can in a lot of cases, but not all. And, you know, it depends on the brands and the models. There are certain brands and models that I particularly appreciate. And in those vehicles, I can usually tell pretty closely, you know, at what year they are, even within the same model, life cycle. There are differences from one year to another. But in other cases, not. You know, again, the older the vehicles, the harder. Well, actually not. When I was a kid, I paid a lot of attention to that. And there were a lot less cars around and less models around. So I went by old cars this weekend, and I could say, oh, yeah, that's a 1968 Ford Fairlane. And
Well, that to me is different. I'm trying to figure out whether you can tell the difference between a 2011 and a 2000. Not you literally, but how easy it is to know the difference if you're not a kid between a 2011 Hyundai, for example, and a 2013. You know, can you tell by the?
In some cases, yes. I mean, we know the life cycle of vehicles is for a lot of brands is around 5 years, right? So within that 5 year life cycle, it is hard from one year to another. But you know, from one life cycle, from one model year to the next life cycle model, when the Subaru is pretty religious about this, they have 5 year cycles. So every 5 years, every model gets a new model, and they do that. You know, they have about five models in their portfolio. It's a limited number of models when you think of it. Every year one of their models gets the new model, not just a facelift, a complete redo. And the last one in the case of Subaru was, I believe, the Outback, and the next up should be, I think, the Impreza. Is next up, and it's only the Impreza like came out in 2018. So, and then 2019 they had the new Forester, and 2020 the new Outback. And I think there's a couple years now with nothing going on, but then you know the new life cycles begin.
Right, and I remember going back decades, and I mean decades. Volvo had the same 5 year thing, but each year
Volvo seemed more like a 20 year cycle. I mean,
no, not really. This is mid-80s, basically.
Yeah,
and they would they because people would literally call up and order the next year's model.
Yeah, well, you take Volvo for example. I mean, the 140 series that became the 240 series. So the 140, you know, series came out in what, 1970? I'm going to say. And they followed the 121, 122, that was a very round car. And then the 140 became the 240, and, you know, with the big bumpers, like in 74 or something like that. And then that car went on till the early 90s, pretty much unchanged. I mean, there were cosmetic changes. They changed the dashboard one or two times. But basically, the car was the same from pretty much not mid-1970s to the early 90s when they finally dropped the model.
Yeah. But
and we know a local shop.
The thing is the little tweaks.
Yeah.
That was part of recognizing.
And back to a bigger, something that may be a useful tip. You know, there are people out there and who have a valid point of saying, don't buy a first year new model. Let the bugs be addressed, and there always are little bugs. So go on and buy a second year, new model. So in a 5 year cycle, let's say buy the second year, just because the first year will most likely see a few bugs that need to be, taken care of.
Okay, so
if that makes sense,
it does. All right, so moving on.
So another thing this weekend, I had a great ride with a 12-year-old kid, and a very smart kid, kind of very polite, very reserved. But then he knew I was a car guy, and he asked me, what's your favorite car? What if you could get any car? Which one would it be? And then these hypotheticals lead to, well, what kind of budget do I have? Do I have unlimited budget? Or is it something reasonable, And hypercars are always a fascination for kids, McLaren Sennas and the Ferrari, LaFerrari and the Porsche, hybrid Porsche that was a limited production car. These are very, very high-end, million-dollar cars, and kids just drool over them. And hypercars have never been a great, fascination for me. Yeah, it's a showcase of what a car company can do, but really you can't drive them on the streets, and oftentimes they are really not models that serve as a base for race cars, although sometimes they do. But the very sad thing about all this, and hypercars and sports cars, is that, and again, and that leads me to our next segment, an inevitable talk on electric vehicles. This past week or two, we've seen a lot of videos online about Tesla's Model S in its plaid version, which is the 1,000 horsepower, hyper sedan, if we can call it that. And we've seen Jay Leno tested on a drag strip. I've seen videos on a road course racetrack, and the car just blows everything away. And it's sad because it just kills all these myths of hypercars, and it's a $130,000 car. It's going to be scary, dangerously fast. And anyway, I think enough about the plaid, but we will see one or two around town at some point. And to that point about performance in electric cars, all of these electric cars are way faster than the equivalent internal combustion engine. Whether you take a Tesla or a little Chevy Bolt or Hyundai's little electric vehicle car, these cars are crazy fast, dangerously fast, I might say.
And there is some rumor, and I will just throw this out there, that this is just the technology for the not the high, the technology is actually what's on offer. The technology is so much more advanced than what's on offer, and I'm going to say the only reason I'm not missing Robin this week is because this is usually when he says, "Oh no, that's not possible."
Oh, it's possible, and yeah. And it's becoming increasingly more.
It's becoming increasingly obvious. So I think
in time there's going to be a cap on these horsepower ratings and the speed of these cars, because it's just totally unreasonable. I looked at the Tesla plaid numbers and compared it to hypercars, and then I said, what does a Formula One do or dragsters, and we're looking at numbers that surpass. I mean that. Performance that surpass the fastest race cars. I mean, and we're talking family sedans.
Yeah, so I've got to go back to this question. I'm really sorry, but
no, go ahead.
way back when, before you were even a sprog, before you were even an idea, we started with electric cars.
Yeah.
That ran, by the way, on hemp. I'd just like to throw that in there. And people can research that because it's just rather, I find it rather fascinating that the whole thing was actually environmentally workable and friendly and you didn't have a problem. And then along came business, but we'll let that pass. And so I've actually answered my own question, but why did no one catch on for years that there was a reason to maintain the electric?
I think the electric had issues back then in the early part of the 20th century that the network of gas stations and proliferation of oil companies doing what they did kind of put an end to the first electric era, and now we have to see what is going to happen in the next 20-30 years.
Right.
And
we'll see if we'll see whether the oil companies have the, shall we say, leverage that they once did. Speaking of electric, not companies, but EV companies, have you heard anything? I last week I saw that Lordstown was supposedly in difficulty. I think there were three: Lordstown, is it Canoe?
And Canoe.
Canoe, yeah.
I don't know much. I mean, these companies come out, and there's press releases that come out on a regular basis. I think Lordstown is in trouble, and I don't see it coming out of trouble anytime soon. Canoe has a great concept vehicle. That's like a recreational vehicle, like a van, truck that does it all, camper, and I don't know how that will come to market. I think that the key for any new companies in the electric world, the key to success is developing partnerships with companies like Amazon, FedEx, UPS that will allow them to get to market a large number of vehicles in a very short time, having fleet customers. I think that's a solution for these startups, if you will. Other than, creating building the capacity to build them. And, Lordstown, I think, has that factory that was a GM factory. I think it's in Ohio. Lordstown is in Ohio. And it used to build the Chevy Cruze. And I think that's where they got their name, and that's where they started. But there's just so many things out there. It's hard to follow.
That's true, and you have to have a certain interest and filtration system because I'm not sure that the press in a lot of areas is doing as good a job as they could actually with their own eyes, because. And I don't know really how that works in the automotive world, except that it's always been clear that different companies, depending on their sponsorship or how they set it up, are going to get more, I don't want to say favorable coverage, but let's just say more ongoing coverage.
First of all, the automotive industry is just huge, right? And there's so many more players now than there were 50 years ago. I mean, yes, we still look at the GMs and the Fords and the Toyotas and the VWs as being the major players. But there's a whole new world out there. I mean, you look in China, there's a, what is the name of the new electric car company that's challenging Tesla and the other Chinese company? I think it's Zeekr. And Zeekr is owned by Geely, that also owns Volvo. That's all I know about it. And it's a car that's going to be mass marketed in China, or has begun to be. And we know nothing about it. there's a big world out there that we don't know about, is what I'm saying.
Right. And again, what I'm saying is, depending on your interest level, do a little research. We have actually gotten to the real 5-minute mark. Do you have safety tips?
Summer driving, a lot of times we start encountering more work zones, and it is always an issue. I think it's important to be reminded that, you know, there are people on the side of the road. When there is a work zone, slow down, pay attention to the flagman. If there is one, follow instructions, slow down, look at where people are on the road working, and keep in mind that they can't hear you if they have machinery that they are working with. They don't count on them to see you. So just use extra caution. I just noticed that just by covering a few hundred miles over the weekend, I ran into a bunch of work zones. And so extra caution in work zones.
And how about when you were driving around? And I know you had some really bad traffic a few weeks ago out of this area. So you must have been really thrilled because things were mostly still moving. But are you finding that in summer driving, people are paying a little more attention to the road, or are a lot of them still living in their...
I can't say that I could see, you know, I don't think that my driving this weekend can let me make come to any conclusion on that.
Okay.
I think in summer you'll see, you know, people who are driving RVs, for instance, or towing boats, or they are doing things that they don't usually do. So another safety tip is, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. They are not professional drivers, or not necessarily. So they might do "quote unquote" stupid things, or you know, not make the, you know. So give them a break.
Seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, and do as I say, not as I do.
Well, there's that.
As one of my teachers used to say, you know, I'm good with preaching, but do I lose my patience? Yeah, I try not to. But and I guess that's the other thing, is, you know, that's the biggest safety tip. You know, if you are calm behind the wheel, you will be a much better driver.
He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.